Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see everybody up so bright and early. Well, I'm not going to trick you, so. But I don't know about treating. I don't know. I didn't bring any treats either, so. John said he was going to run the mic, but he's not here yet. So I don't know if we're close enough together to just have the mic go around so everybody can say who's here. We can maybe try that. I'm Artis Bazin, chair of the CCB membership committee.
And good morning. I'm Penny Valdovinos from Greater Bakersfield, Council of the Blind.
Hi, I'm Lucia Heinzel from Santa Rosa.
Charlene Ornelas, San Diego Braille Club.
Deborah Gossett, San Bernardino.
Glenda Castle, San Diego Chapter. And
delegate. Mike Heathley, President, Silicon Valley.
David Jackson, San Francisco Chapter.
Joel Isaac, Orange County Chapter.
Hello. Hello. Jeff Tom, Capital Chapter.
Good morning. Good morning. Bonnie Rennie, Orange County.
Bob Rennie, Orange County.
Good morning. Good
morning. Time to wake up. My turn? Good. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, I'm Nancy Younger, Riverside, Active Blind Inland Valleys Chapter.
Okay, and I'm Preston Moses of Alameda and also Bayview Chapter as well.
Bill Berry, Glendale Burbank Chapter.
And Debbie Berry, Glendale Burbank Chapter.
Pamela Metz, Greater Los Angeles Chapter.
She's president chapter she's in. Ken Metz, Greater LA Chapter, and on occasion we're also members of Long Beach Chapter.
Kevin Berkeley, Glendale Burbank Chapter.
Hi, I'm Beth Berenson, San Francisco Chapter.
Robert Campbell, Central Coast Low Vision Council.
Marcy Knudsen, Central Coast Low Vision Council Secretary.
Thank you, Beth, for being our runner.
My name is Peter Crockwell. I'm Alameda Chapter. We're president of that chapter. And
my name is Darrell Wilkerson, Alameda Chapter.
I'm Katrina McCurdy from the Alameda County Chapter.
And did you announce your name earlier? Okay.
Good morning. I'm Alton Page. I'm here with the Alameda County people as Peter and having a senior moment here. Preston and Katrina and I'm having a senior moment. just admit it. Yeah. Well, you know, Mr. Wilkinson. There we go. Okay. So I'm happy to be here. And okay, thank you.
I think we're going to go ahead and get started because some people have meetings at 8:30, and we want to make sure people have plenty of time to leave and go to their respective meetings. The topic of today's discussion is how sponsorships can help funding in your chapter and increase membership in public relations. And the format we're going to use is I'm going to ask a series of questions, and I'll give a few answers, but then I want people from the audience to add other suggestions on each one so that we can get a well-rounded discussion going. First of all, how many of you in your chapters have tried to get sponsorships for anything? Okay, a couple. Okay, basically, maybe I should tell you what sponsorships are in case you're not sure what they are. What it is it's gifts from outside sources to fund anything you do in the chapter. And that could be a special event, it could be a job fair, it could be putting up a website, etc. Any gift that you get to go toward that would be a sponsorship. The first question is, actually, what kind of events can you use sponsorships for? When I kind of answered a little bit of that, some of the things you can use sponsorships for. CCB did a good job this year. They got several sponsorships for the convention, which is great. And we can have events in our chapters where we can get sponsorships. So what things could we also get sponsorships besides the things that I had mentioned already? Okay. would somebody like to run the mic around? I know John had said he'd run it for me, but I haven't seen him, so. Okay, Beth had said that you got sponsorships for scholarships, you said?
Yeah. I'm going to ask if people want to speak, can they raise their hand? Because that's the way I'm going to be able to see you. Okay, I'm coming over, David.
This is David Jackson from the San Francisco chapter, and Beth alluded to getting sponsorships for scholarships. And what we have done, our basic scholarship is called the Alice Chavez Pardini Scholarship Fund. And what we have done in the past is we have gotten corporate sponsorship through various groups. Walgreens was one, and what was the other one that we got? We got one from, we got one from Walgreens, and didn't we get one from Chevron?
We might have.
Yeah. But we've been really lucky to have those kinds of sponsorships because they've gone a long way in helping to fulfill a lot of the need of the scholarship. Anybody else?
Okay. Anybody else have a thing that you could use a sponsorship for? I know a walkathon. I know many groups have walkathons, and they get sponsorships to put on the walkathon.
Okay, here's someone else.
Preston.
Yeah, Preston, I'm going to give you the mic.
I'm Preston Moses from Alameda Chapter. I also belong to an organization called Berea Outreach Recreation, and they quite often have, and of course it all depends on the vicinity you're in, whether you can do this or not, but they have a Sunday at the races, the horse races and that kind of thing, and as a fundraiser. I don't know how many chapters can do that in terms of, because of vicinity and location and that, but that is one possibility I just thought of.
This is Marcy Knudsen from Central Coast Low Vision Council. I'm not sure if it qualifies as sponsorship or just independent private donation to our group, but we used the money to pay for bringing people on a field trip to travel 120 miles to go from San Luis Obispo to the Santa Barbara Braille Institute to spend a day at the Braille Institute.
Great, great. You can also use sponsorships to have an audio-described movie night where you can tell sponsors that you want to get blind people. And I think sponsors even like it better if you tell them that you're going to invite students, blind students, to go to things like that. You can also get sponsorships to do mentoring programs if you want to do that, or sponsorships to set up your website, set up a job fair. There's a number of different reasons you can do a sponsorship.
Okay, I'm coming over. Actually, Jeff, you don't need a mic.
Okay, I don't need a mic.
You just have to talk loudly.
Okay, I'm coming over.
So in Capital Chapter, and I'm kind of proud to say, when we did the welcome and the hospitality last time, we donated like $700 in profits to CCV. But one of the main reasons we were able to do it, to donate that much, is because that our president and his wife, who are both vendors, they got a lot of the stuff donated from companies that supply things to vendors. So we had our water and our chips and soda and lots of things donated, and that was money right off the top that we would have had to shell out. So that worked really well for us. We've done that actually a couple times.
And that's a good point to bring up, because sometimes people think sponsorships have to be outright money, and it doesn't have to be. It can be services and products. Sometimes you might find a new website owner, website operator, somebody that's getting into the business, or a student that's going through college and trying to get into that business. They might be willing to do your website for free just so they can get their name out there or so they can get more experience. And those kind of services are just as good as outright cash for a sponsorship.
We have artists. We have another question or another comment. Isaac?
You know, one of the things that our Orange County chapter... Joel Isaac from the Orange County chapter. One of the things that our Orange County chapter has really benefited from is site sponsorship. We've had issues trying to find a site for certain of our events or even chapter meetings. And we had a church that had agreed to hold our events there. And it really worked out. They charge us a nominal amount, if anything. And it's saved us a lot of time and stress trying to look for these places.
Very good. Why should companies or organizations sponsor us? What are good reasons you can tell that would be a good reason for them to sponsor you?
Ken, I'm coming over.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm walking off breakfast.
One of the things you can find by having... I'm sorry, the companies, was that your question?
Should companies help us?
The companies, number one, if a company does that, you always, or several companies, when they sponsor something, whether it's your fundraiser or anything else, they give you door prizes or raffle prizes. You can set up a donor list so that they also get some publicity out of it, as well as their own tax breaks. But it does a couple of other things. We always see it as the company getting the tax break and, getting mentioned as a donor on a donor list and over your PA system, whatever you're using. But it also introduces the company or companies as to what you are about and what we are about in CCB. Because when you talk to them, you're giving them a little education. So it actually works for us as well as for them, and I think that's an important issue. And we never know that, somebody might go to work for a company that sponsored you or that helped you out in some way, and they might say, we helped the CCB chapter, and we did this for them, and it just might begin to open up a few doors at times.
Well, sometimes if you build relationships with companies and organizations, it not only educates them and helps them know about the advocacy of blind people, and it also allows them to find out about the resources that we have available that might help, like you said, their employees or their family members or other people they know. Anyone else have any ideas on why organizations and companies could sponsor events for us and it would help them too?
Charlene or Nellis, Braille Club. You sort of touched on what I was going to say, and that is that it also helps to open up the door to educate different companies and about the blind and how they can, you know, better serve the blind, you know, things that they can do to help, such as just informing people when you give out the change, don't pile all the coins in the middle of the bills and hand it to me. And let me know, you know, that's just a simple thing you can tell that, a person, and in the end make their lives and our lives easier.
I think it also makes them look better, too, because they can say, hey, we've been sponsoring this group, and it makes them look better to the community as well. Anyone else on that question? Okay. The next question I have is, who could be asked to sponsor your chapter? Any particular ones that come to mind?
Vendors, like I work in a, this is Beth from San Francisco. I have lots of vendor relationships where I work, and I would definitely not hesitate to ask them. And also my place of work has donated as well, donated things to different chapters.
Now when you say vendors, you're talking about blindness-related products?
Correct. I work at the Lighthouse, so yeah, it's blindness-related products.
I have one that probably people won't think about is mortuaries in order to get things printed. They have, you know, equipment for printing because they do a lot of programs. And so that is a source for printing.
A lot of times, Lions Clubs, Rotaries, Kiwanis Clubs, your service organizations will give small grants, so usually $500 or less, but all they ask you to do is come and speak at their group and tell a little about the project that you want them to be involved with. And each one has different types of grants that they want to give you. Like Kiwanis Club is particularly for things with children. So if you're doing like a mentoring project or something else, or entertaining children or doing an audio-described movie for kids, Kiwanis Clubs would be more likely to donate versus Rotary and Lions Club. They would might be more inclined to do it for scholarships or blindness-related products, that kind of thing. Other ideas on places to ask?
I also found one of the things with Lions Clubs that's really neat. If you're having an activity and if they're sponsoring you, whether it be a fundraiser or anything, you can also get under their blanket insurance policy coverage. Many people try to do fundraising, and we've done this with our chapter and stuff, and you call all these people, and well, you have to have liability insurance, you have to have this, you have to have that. If you get the sponsorship, you're covered under theirs and you don't have to pay for it.
Well, everybody is, I mean, the most obvious place for me, just sitting here thinking about it, would be restaurants. I mean, we have our meeting in a restaurant. And I don't think the guy who owns it would have any problem sponsoring anything that we put forth to him. So, to me, that's an obvious answer, too.
Okay, anyone else for possible?
There's someone else.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'm Alton Page, and I'm just a helper here for the Alameda County chapter. But I was just thinking, I work for a veterans organization. I don't know if anyone here having experience with veterans. I know we have some.
Yeah.
You know, so that may be a source. I don't quite know if the VA will do that. But I'm certainly going to mention it to my organization. I work with homeless veterans, you know, so homeless and then mental health issues and that sort of thing. I don't know what the situation is with blind but I'm pretty sure there's some blind veterans, you know. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to be looking at that, and I'll stay in touch with Peter and Preston and Daryl and Katrina, you know, so they can give you guys sources also. So, thank you.
Anyone else on sources for sponsorships?
Okay, thanks. Okay, there's someone else.
Hi. I'm Penny from Bakersfield. I've not only worked with the council, but I was also a Cub Master at one time, and we would go and get donations for everything. We would hit McDonald's for plastic spoons, paper goods. If you ask, they give. Most places will give you something if you ask. Something. Maybe not everything you need, but that helps.
Anyone else?
What I'm going to ask is if you can raise your hand really high, because that's going to help me. Thank you. I see you.
Yeah, this is Preston Moses again from Alameda Bayview Chapters. Over the years, Major League Baseball, such as the Athletics, the Giants, and teams have donated to different causes, like community causes, having children learn to read, and those kinds of things. So that's, and also they like sell tickets, and a certain percentage of the proceeds from the ticket sales of a particular game will go to such things as Rotary or that kind of thing. So that's another thing there.
Anyone else? Okay, the next question is how to spread the news about your sponsorship opportunities. How do you let people know that they can help sponsor you? And of course, Penny mentioned the primary one is personal contact, going out there and actually personally asking organizations and groups. What are other ways to publicize your sponsorship opportunities?
Thank you.
Yeah, Penny just said letter writing. Of course, with a letter writing campaign, it's more successful if you then follow up with a personal call to say, hey, did you receive our letter asking for a sponsorship or telling you of our sponsorship opportunities? Because sometimes letters in and of themselves don't do the trick.
Okay, she wasn't on mic and still sort of what I was going to say, but the other thing is if you're sending letters, a lot of times companies will figure out their donation budget early. So be early at getting in your requests.
Right. And if you're going to write a letter, probably give them a list of things that they could do, maybe list that they could advertise if you're having a program. Paper program that they can advertise in. Maybe give them the option they could have an advertisement on your website if you have one. Give them an opportunity to donate products that you could sell at your auction. Give them a number of opportunities that they can sponsor you in, so that way if one fits their budget better than another, then they might be more likely to donate or give you a sponsorship as well.
Also, do a follow-up, preferably in person, and let them know we sent you a letter. If you can't do it in person, at least do it over the telephone.
Yeah, the in-person, that's great. Great idea.
I also find that when I'm doing this that I have to call first and find out who exactly do I get my letter to, because I also find that if you just send a letter to an organization without the person who's like the community service coordinator or something, that your letter gets lost somewhere. So I always make sure I have the name of the person to send it to.
And sometimes you can find that on their website, but not necessarily, because sometimes they don't keep their website as up to date. So if you're going to check the website for contact information, make sure you look to see, you know, it usually says last updated such and such, and make sure it's been recent. If it hasn't, then I agree, you probably should call them and actually talk to the receptionist and ask them, who do I send a letter to regarding such and such?
And this is Ken. I also found for years while we had our steak barbecues and stuff, we never had to pay for bread because I'd gotten a contact who happened to be the president of King's Hawaiian Bakery. And for years, they would donate like 20 dozen of the rolls every single year. And I did that also with Carnation Ice Cream. Used to have to go there and pick it up, but they would donate, you know, dozens and dozens of their ice cream cups that we could have for desserts and things. So there are things to do. And, you know, the first time you go there, it seems a little difficult. Once you have an in, they remember you year after year. And like the King's Hawaiian Bakery, I knew I had met the president when I went there the first time and the secretary. And she was still there, so every year when I'd call, she'd automatically remember who we were, and we were right on their list.
I think that's particularly true with door prizes and stuff, or for auction prizes. If you go to the same places year after year, people do remember you.
In Bakersfield, I know that Frito-Lay donates a lot of chips and stuff to organizations. You just have to get the right contact. So if you look for that, that's the thing, and you have to pick it up. That's helped a lot in a lot of the fundraising and chips.
Anyone else have ideas on how to make companies, organizations, people aware of your sponsorship opportunities?
Coca-Cola, this is Charlene. Coca-Cola is very good at providing beverages, water, and their soda products, including the fact that the San Diego Fun Bus coming up here was stocked with sodas to come up with by Coca-Cola.
How many of you have asked friends or family to help sponsor an event that you've put on?
Always.
I've had better luck selling raffle tickets to my family than I have, you know, actually sponsorships. So. But, I mean, they sometimes would sponsor me to do something for an organization, you know, but not an outright sponsorship right directly to the organization. What were you going to say, Jeff?
Oh, I was saying that I have good luck with that. I have one family member who has a little bit of money, and if I explain, you know, we need more money in our scholarship fund, could you sort of write us a check? And this is how much I'd like. And not always, but some years have been better than others.
Yeah, my mom will do that occasionally if I ask her to, so that's good. Okay, and the next question is, if you're writing a sponsorship letter, what should you include and what should not you include?
What I do is, number one, you want to really do your best to make it a one-page letter. So in a one-page, you really want to hit the outline of what your organization is about. And usually I'll just explain that we are part, you know, that our chapter is part of the state organization, which in turn is part of a national, just to let them know that we're not a fly-by-night organization. I will also put in there that we work to do advocacy and various, and we work within various areas in regards to blind and visually impaired people, from children through education to adults through employment, and seniors for housing, transportation, and other areas. And then I usually also include our tax ID number, because that way they know it is a tax deduction for them if they help us. And what I usually tell them is I also tell them what the event is going to be and when and where, just in case they really wanted to donate something, but maybe they want to see, are you for real, and they could actually show up. I mean, they haven't, but I always give them that opportunity. Make sure you give them contact information so that they can contact you, and I always give them home, cell, and email. And And basically, those are the main things that I think you really have to include.
The one caveat, I think Ken did a great, great job with that. The one caveat that I would say is, with respect to the tax ID number, if you're going to be giving them, if you're going to be like giving them out to a bunch of local businesses that you may not know, then the best way is, in my view, to say tax ID number upon request. If you're sending it to Coca-Cola, then it's great. You want the tax ID number in there. Or if you're giving it out to the Hawaiian King's Bakery that you know well, that's fine. But when you're giving it out to the local, you know, Burger King place, that person could go ahead and use your tax ID number for who knows what. So you don't want it in there. And it's, you know, I've heard from fundraising practice that it's not necessarily such a good idea to put it in. But you have to put in ID number upon request, because you want to make it very clear to them that you are a 501c3, and if they want it, they can get it.
I'm done. Okay. Wait a minute. You can't talk with it.
Once you develop a donor list, then, you know, that's what I do. Then I get the letters prepared, and basically I change the date and everything else. But all the rest of the letters stay in my computer, and that way year after year. One other thing, follow up with a thank you letter after they donate.
Yeah, thank you letters are essential, and that way they'll be more inclined to give the next time around. Anyone else have a suggestion for a letter?
There is.
In your letter, also, this is Charlene, in your letter, also remind or let them know of how their donation is going to help them. Not just, you know, help us, but how it can help them.
Very good. Yeah, because you want to advertise for them.
Get them out as early as possible. As early as possible. If you have an October or September, November fundraiser, do it in February. Get those letters out, because some of them actually only do donations certain times of the year. So if you get them out early enough, you got a 50-50 chance of getting a donation from that company.
And one other thing, very quickly, most companies want those letters by June, because they actually set their fundraising and all of their donation lists early in the fiscal year. Most of the companies are July through June.
Any other ideas for including in the letter? I think one thing you might consider too is make sure somebody else mentioned why it's important to them. You could also list in there different sponsorship levels. I know Rendo Shepherd Vendors of America, they have this annual conference, Sagebrush, and they offer different sponsorship levels, and it's held in Vegas, so they have their lingo, like the whale is a $20,000 donation, and for that one they offer them 10 conference registrations, they offer them to put their link on the website, a full page ad, a write up in the vendor scope, and then they have a Las Vegas casino, and then they'll balance for $10,000. And they'll offer like a half-page ad and, you know, similar other ones, and maybe five registrations. And then on down to the smallest level, which is $2,500, which they just give them two registrations and a quarter-page ad, and et cetera. And so sometimes if you offer them different levels, then they'll choose to do one of those levels. And obviously in a chapter basis, you probably wouldn't be asking for that large of donations, because it's not for a conference. But you might suggest that we'll put a link on our website, if you have a website, or we'll put you in our local newsletter, or we'll put you in a flyer program that we're going to hand out at the event, etc. And if you offer them different levels, then they might choose something if they see that one is more beneficial for them than another. So those are other things to consider to put in a letter. Okay, anybody else have an idea on the letter? No more hands? Okay. Okay. Let's see. Ken mentioned the follow-up with a thank you. Anything else you might want to do afterwards, after you get a sponsorship?
This is Charlene. If possible, encourage your membership to frequent that business. Let them know you appreciated what they did. And have your family and friends try to put in, you know, make a visit there. And if you do have family and friends and yourself going there, thank them in person for helping it. Even if they've been thanked by a letter, just having the people coming in and go, thank you, and they'll hear a lot of thank yous from a lot of people knowing that their donation actually created some advertising.
Good idea. Anyone else? I don't know if any of you noticed, Wells Fargo has a booth here at the exhibit area, and we all know that they gave a good donation to the organization, so it'd be a good idea to go by that table and thank them for making their donation and how much the convention means to you. Sometimes sponsors have no clue whether or not anybody even realizes or not, and so I think it's really important that we let them know personally that we read about it someplace. And even if we don't go to the particular branch or whatever, just letting your local one know, say, at our convention, Wells Fargo sponsored us there, and we really appreciated that. Because you'd be surprised by doing that, even though different branch, it might spark them to participate in something in your local area if you talk to, you know, another branch someplace else. Anyone have any don'ts in the sponsorship arena? What should not you do?
It's a good thing I'm wearing baggy pants. You know where I'm headed.
One of the don'ts is don't change your mind and have a different activity than what you said you were doing without contacting the donor and letting them know that due to circumstances you've had to make a change.
This is Beth, and I think also it's important to realize that you're not always going to get your donation, and to be very, very, when they say no, still send them a note saying, you know, I thank you for looking at our offer, and, you know, may I look forward to working with you again, and continue to contact that person. I used to work in a hotel, and we used to get hundreds of these a month. And we would literally look, did we give them something last year? Oh, we did. They're not getting anything this year. Oh, we didn't give them. They've been giving us, we had a database. You know, okay, they've sent us four letters. We haven't given them anything. Here's the fifth letter. They get something. So it's important not to be cranky about it.
Any other comments about what you should not do? Well, I think a big one is you don't want to do the poor me, blind person syndrome. Unfortunately, if you write a letter, and I know there's been organizations like the MDA have gotten in trouble because they portray people with disability as being totally helpless. The problem with doing that philosophy, then they don't perceive us as being worthwhile citizens, so in the long run, it makes you look worse than it makes you look. It's better to have positive stories. Stories are always a good thing to include in a letter saying, hey, if you can get like a mention from somebody in your chapter that really thought the organization helped them grow, they were allowed to go. David Jackson last night when he did his little speech for a candidate, he mentioned the fact that how much he appreciated being able to go to the legislative seminar and how much he learned. Well, if you can put little stories like that in your letters and make them positive that show the positive benefit of the organization, how the organization helped you, maybe it just helped build your self-esteem so you felt good enough to go to college or anything positive. Those are good things to put in, but you don't want to put in the poor blind people, we don't have anything, we're losing this and we're losing that, and We really need your help, otherwise we won't be able to continue, blah, blah, blah. That really is kind of a negative. So I think you need to stay away from the negative situations and go to the positive ones.
This is Charlene. Two things. One is you don't want to make it all flowery and make it look like we're doing something bigger than what we are. You know, be honest about what's happening. The other one is, if you're sending out more than one letter, don't let it look like it's a form letter. Personalize the letters.
This is Bethy, and I'm just going to add something that Charlene made a great point. In looking at letters, we used to get letters that were carbon, like gone through a copy machine, and they would put in the name of the organization. Those went immediately into the garbage. We didn't even look at those. So there's no excuse now. If we all don't have a computer, we have access to a computer.
Very good point.
Oh, here's Mr. President.
I'm going to be controversial here. I agree with everything you said, Artis. I wouldn't do anything negative. But let's not kid ourselves. Sometimes negative does work. And sometimes there's a real boundary line as to what people perceive as negative and what people perceive as positive. And I'll be even more controversial and speak to one specific one in this organization. There are some people that feel that dining in the dark things are very negative. And there's some people feel that they're very positive. And there's some people feel that some of the appeals that the Foundation Fighting Blindness gives are very negative. And so, I don't know. One man's meat is another man's poison. So, I think what you have to say for my money is true, but it may not be true. There are a lot of negative. Guide Dogs for the Blind is another one whose message is sometimes, in my view, very negative in some ways, for their fundraising view anyway. Help that poor blind person who can't even, get out of their house. So almost sort of thing. I just throw that out there because it's not a cut and dry thing in fundraising.
Well, what I meant is putting things in there like that, they won't be able to do anything without your support. They'll be, locked up in your house without, your support.
I know.
Totally helpless. So I think there's, I agree with you that there's sometimes we have to show that we need things, but I don't think we can, Probably running it by your chapter members is a good thing to do too, because that way you can get that out there if there's people that feel that the message might be more negative than what they want or too positive. Don't want to make it sound like blind people are so perfect either, so. And don't need anything.
Here's Charlene.
I think what we're trying to say is keep the wine out of your letter unless you're asking for some.
Anyone else on the things we should not include or things we need to be careful about when we do sponsoring, ask for sponsorships? Okay, well, I really appreciate all the participation we've gotten today. That's been great, and I hope you've all learned something so you can go out and get sponsorships. And if you don't need them for your chapter, get them for CCB. Thank you all for coming.